produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. From the Normal headquarters in Washington, D.C., this is a 2006 election roundup. 2006 midterm election results offer mixed bag for marijuana law reform. The 2006 midterm elections offered mixed results for marijuana law reformers, with voters rejecting three statewide liberalization efforts, but approving numerous local measures to deprioritize pot law enforcement. Voters in Colorado, Nevada, and South Dakota turned back efforts to amend state penalties on the use and possession of cannabis. Colorado's Amendment 44, which gained 40% of the vote, sought to eliminate civil penalties on the possession and use of up to 1 ounce of marijuana by adults. Question 7 in Nevada, which won 44% of the vote, sought to remove all criminal penalties for the private possession and use of small quantities of cannabis, and directed state officials to create a statewide system for the taxation, legal cultivation, distribution to adults by licensed vendors. South Dakota's initiated Measure 4, which gained 48% of the vote, sought to allow the physician-authorized use of cannabis for medicinal purposes. Regarding the three failed statewide initiative efforts, Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre:
these outcomes, while disappointing, were not unexpected. Despite these results, adults in both Colorado and Nevada continue to live under state laws that authorize the medical use of marijuana and allow adults to possess and use small amounts of pot without the threat of incarceration or a criminal record. South Dakota's results, while disheartening, does nothing to change the fact that according to national polls, nearly 8 out of 10 Americans support the physician-approved use of medicinal cannabis.
That was Normal's Executive Director Alan St. Pierre. Local cannabis reform initiatives won overwhelmingly in yesterday's election. In Eureka Springs, Arkansas, 64% of voters approved a citywide ordinance directing local law enforcement to issue a summons in lieu of a criminal arrest for adults found to be in possession of up to 1 ounce of cannabis and/or marijuana paraphernalia. The measure, sponsored by the Fayetteville University, Arkansas chapter of Normal, is the first pot depenalization measure ever approved in the state. In California, local voters approved a trio of pot deprioritization measures. In Santa Barbara, 65% of voters backed Measure P, which directs municipal police to make all local law enforcement activities related to the investigation, citation, and/or arrest of adult cannabis users their lowest priority, and also appoints a community oversight committee to monitor police activity as it pertains to marijuana law enforcement. Santa Cruz and Santa Monica voters approved similar measures, each by votes of 63%. A separate pot deprioritization measure, Initiative 2, also passed in Missoula, Montana, with 53% of the vote. Finally, in Massachusetts, voters in several state House and Senate districts approved public policy questions concerning the decriminalization of cannabis for personal use and the legalization of marijuana for medical purposes. Since 2002, more than 420,000 Massachusetts voters in 110 communities have approved similar non-binding resolutions. Normal St. Pierre said that the strong showing in local races demonstrates Americans' overwhelming support for more reasonable pot policies.
What these results tell us is that citizens strongly support reforming America's marijuana laws, but they prefer to do so incrementally. These successes on the municipal level, once again, affirm that a majority of U.S. citizens don't want adults who use marijuana responsibly to face arrest or jail, and they do not want their tax dollars spent on policies that prioritize targeting and prosecuting marijuana offenders.
That was Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre. He added that this year's election results also have potential federal ramifications, noting that California Democrat Nancy Pelosi, who now stands to be House Speaker, is a longtime supporter and former co-sponsor of medical marijuana legislation.
It is our hope that with this new Democratic leadership in the House of Representatives, we will finally be able to move forward with legislation and hearings on both the physician-approved medical use of marijuana as well as the decriminalization of cannabis for responsible adults.
That was Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre. This has been a 2006 election roundup from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit NORML.org. From the National Normal Headquarters in Washington, D.C., we've got a live election roundup here today. We're with Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre. Alan, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Hey, Chris, what's happening?
Great to be speaking with you here live, Alan. What were some of the eye catchers in yesterday's races? And not just the marijuana initiatives, it sure was a fun election yesterday.
Well, for me, the three things that really caught my attention in the wee hours of last evening was, one, that the initiative in South Dakota had got as many votes that it did. I certainly had not predicted that it had, so I was glad to see that it had failed by just a couple of percentage points. Two was, I was real glad to see that Colorado's initiative got up to the 40 percentile. That was really important, sort of a psychological number. When I went to bed, it hadn't reached there, so I was real glad to wake up to that today. And I was real happy to see that the initiative in Nevada, when I went to bed, picked up two extra points and get up to 44 points. That was terrific to see. But what I don't think a lot of people realize is that in this cycle of Congress, how many dyed-in-the-wool drug warriors either left or were voted out of Congress. And that is really important for future legislation.
And when you talk about drug warriors, and when we use this phrase, what does this mean?
Well, these are the hardcore, mainly Republican, but frankly there are some Democrats mixed in there, mainly in the House, but also, of course, they have partners in the Senate. And what these congresspeople and senators have been doing for years, these are the people that stop any progressive legislation, like, say, the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment, or medical marijuana legislation in general in terms of the Frank-Paul bill in terms of rescheduling. And these are the people that constantly beat the drums for drug testing for children, drug dogs into schools, high-tech equipment all over the place to detect people's drug use. It's just remarkable. So this group that has been pretty much driving the drug war for the better part of 20 years, about half their membership in this Congress has now either left by scandal or been voted out.
And these have been people who have been long-term politicians. These are not first-term junior senators from minor states. These are people who have been a lifetime in politics here in Washington who now have seen their jobs go up in smoke.
Well, yes, in fact, I guess that's a good metaphor. What has happened is that people like Clay Shaw, Tom DeLay, Duke Cunningham, Bob Ney, these have been people that have been fighting in the Congress against any progressive changes in marijuana law reform, and I can hardly tell you how happy I was to see Santorum be defeated in Pennsylvania, because in the Senate, as the number three person in the leadership, he has really fought hard against changing marijuana laws.
Rick Santorum, really one of the most conservative senator or congresspeople in America, and he has really put himself on the line and the other side of a number of issues, and he was dealt a very sound defeat in Pennsylvania last night. Also, Alan, in some of these state races, when you talk about Colorado coming up to 40%, when you have 500,000 Coloradans voting in favor of Amendment 44, does this give momentum into the future?
Oh, undoubtedly. I think we had commented early on that if this did not pass, it surely laid the groundwork for 2008. SAFER has done a terrific job reaching out to all the important stakeholders in the state. Most of the funding came from in-state donors, so they are geared up to do this again in 2008. It is rare. It would be a new precedent if they could have done this the first time out of the gate. But for, say, a $60,000 investment, which is what the press is indicating that they claim that they've spent so far on the after they spent $150,000 to get on the ballot. So we're talking about round numbers here, about $200,000 to $210,000. This is a remarkably low cost and effective way to raise the public discourse around marijuana, if not change the laws outright.
And this was a very expensive election process this year. Over $2 billion spent around the country. In California, there was $100 million spent on one side, $50 million on the other, on just a single referendum regarding taxing the price of oil coming out of the ground out there. So when you talk about $60,000 for a statewide initiative, this really is getting your maximum bang for your buck in politics out there with these ballot initiatives.
They did a great job with the billboards and the blogging and the grassroots getting out there and meeting people where it matters, in the medical marijuana underground clubs in Colorado, at the reggae and rock and roll and jam scene, and certainly just reaching out to, you know, the whole ski snowboarding community. Colorado is almost certainly going to pass this in 2008.
Now, let's also talk about who is probably going to be the future House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. She's someone who's supported medical marijuana in the past and also has received contributions from the Normal PAC.
She has indeed. Ms. Pelosi has been a longtime supporter of medical marijuana laws. I was at meetings with her at fundraisers going back to the very early 90s, and even then, before anybody in the body politic was talking about medical marijuana, she already knew what it was about. Her constituents who had AIDS and the doctors who treated them had well explained to her why medical marijuana was so important, and so she's always been supportive. Before she became minority leader, now that she's become Speaker of the House, yes, we absolutely hope with not only the change in the House, but in her leadership specifically, that we can finally get some subcommittee, if not committee hearings, on the on two important matters, but most notably the Barney Frank Ron Paul bill. There's also the Sam Farr bill, but Normal really supports the idea of just simply allowing the states to change the scheduling of marijuana specifically for medical marijuana purposes.
So this is really a broader political win for marijuana law reform in America. The drug warriors are gone. A medical marijuana supporter from California is now going to be the first female House speaker here in Washington, D.C. So this is really setting the stage and setting up the pieces for what could be large, broad-based reform in America.
Absolutely. And this is what was needed. We needed to have this level of change. I mean, Normal, by definition, is bipartisan. It's practically, just down the middle on politics. We don't hew one way or the other. But the analysis is clear that the Republicans in the 6 years of controlled Congress were not going to allow any subcommittee hearings on these important bills. So clearly, we can see from this past election and the prior ones that the populations in many states want to have this addressed federally, and now I think that opportunity exists.
Also, Alan, in a more hypothetical and philosophical note, many have mentioned in the same sentence that the war on terror is so much akin to the war on drugs. And now with this large showing of the American public, many mentioning scandal or the Iraq war being the reason that they voted against Republicans in many areas, do you feel that the war on drugs, too, will also start to see a message of reform and people will get active on that issue?
Well, I certainly hope so. One of the things that we did not see in this election cycle going into it, and then certainly I'm sure when we look at the post analyses in the next few days, is that crime or drugs in terms of a concern of the American population was off of the chart. This was not the case in 88, 90, 92, pretty much through 98, 2000. Now it doesn't show up in the concerns of voters going into the election. So that being the case, we don't have the same political environment we did in the 1980s and early 90s, where arguably the media and the public were sort of haranguing, screaming for Congress to do something about drugs, to protect children, to stop cartels. Well, not only have those things not worked, we now clearly know that there are much better alternatives to prohibition. And when we now have experienced 10 years of medical marijuana, certainly in the form of California's brand of medical marijuana, which Ms. Pelosi is most familiar with. I mean, she lives in a town in a state where patients can walk up and buy medical marijuana with their doctor's recommendation. This doesn't occur in any other part of the country. So let's hope that if she supports any access to medical marijuana, she supports the one right from her hometown.
And the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment and Hinchey-Farr Amendment coming up every year on the House floor. This is something that we covered here on the Audio Stash. So do you think that the Hinchey Amendment might have different play this year?
I think it probably will, though I've always found that that particular vote is not one that is likely going to succeed, only because ultimately, if it were to succeed, you would have liberal Democrats essentially going into a line item of the federal budget and saying, this is an area we don't want you to spend money on. And frankly, the leadership, this is not a precedent they want to set for the other side to just go in and decide, you know, what federal laws they want to fund and which ones they don't. And ultimately, we have to have legislation to change the laws. Hinchey-Raubacher is a Band-Aid at best. And also, because the way the federal government is busting the clubs and dispensaries out in California, it's starting to remove the need for Hinchey-Raubacher, because they're not going in and busting them under the guise of the federal government. They're going in there under a multi-jurisdictional task force, and they're being prosecuted at the state level.
So this is something that needs to be changed on all levels, it sounds like, Alan. And we were just talking to Paul about the municipal initiative. So all of this works together in order to bring reform to all of the country.
Well, there's a dirty word. I think we even used it in today's press release. But it's true. And I'm sorry, after 36 years, it still remains true. It's simply incrementalism. We know from all the voting data, from all of our focus and polling data, after 36 years, that you cannot ram these changes down Americans' throats. Obviously, changes like this have to come from the citizens that want to see the change. So we see lots of tea leaves in this election. And absolutely, if Brandeis was right in his great decision years ago that the states are the great laboratories of democracy in the United States, then once again, what happened mainly in last election and this one demonstrate that marijuana law reform is incredibly viable at the local and county level, and it's finding its way readily to the state level. And of course, at some point here in Washington, D.C., the Congress has got to deal with this issue. We cannot go into an eighth decade of marijuana prohibition such as we've known it.
Alan, I want to thank you for joining us here today. This has been a great election roundup from Normal headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Chris. Really glad you could come down and join us.
Thanks so much. We're here at Normal's national headquarters at 1600 K Street in Washington, D.C., doing an election roundup. Joining us today is Paul Armentano, Normal's senior policy analyst. Paul, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thank you, Chris.
Great to speak with you again. What were some of the big surprises out of the results from yesterday's election?
Actually, Chris, I didn't find too much in the results that were surprising. Certainly, we were disappointed that the three most high-profile state initiatives failed to pass the muster of the voters. But by contrast, every ballot measure on the local level where voters were asked the question whether an adult should be incarcerated for using marijuana or whether their local funds should be used to pay law enforcement to target and prosecute adult responsible marijuana users, the voters voted those proposals down.
So, you know, one of the things that was more surprising to me was how close that South Dakota race ended up being. So many people thought that medical marijuana would overwhelmingly be defeated, but it really wasn't. It garnered almost half of the vote there in South Dakota.
Sure. South Dakota was an example where the voters in that state and the proponents of medical marijuana reform in that state had really been left no other alternative. For many years, proponents of medical marijuana law reform in South Dakota have gone to their legislature and tried to use the legislative process to debate this issue. But they've been, frankly, rebuffed by the legislature at really every turn. They'd also gone to the courts, which had also struck down even the concept of raising an affirmative defense of medical necessity in the state of South Dakota. So while, of course, we're disappointed that the voters narrowly defeated this medical marijuana measure, the reality was really all other options had been exhausted, and that the initiative route, though we knew would be a difficult one, was the only it was the only option that proponents had left in that state. And we are pleased with the fact that nearly one out of two voters in South Dakota did approve of the notion of a physician-recommended use of medical marijuana.
And seeing these results come in from around the country, out in California, there was overwhelming support in the California cities for deprioritization, 64%, 65%. These are huge showings in those cities, which, while they may seem progressive sort of from the outside, do have conservative elements to them. And there were other things on the ballot out there that people were picking and choosing on. So it was good to see that high turnout for those.
Sure. We've seen this before, too. When the question simply comes down to, should an adult be targeted, arrested, and prosecuted and incarcerated for the use of marijuana, voters overwhelmingly say no. When the question is asked, should law enforcement make targeting adult responsible marijuana users a priority, once again, overwhelmingly, voters say no. When you begin asking broader questions about legalization and regulation of marijuana, then the support becomes a bit more tepid. But if this question is simply limited to the issue of should an adult face jail and receive a criminal record for their use of marijuana, like the voters said in Santa Barbara, Santa Monica, Santa Cruz, Missoula, Montana, Eureka Springs, universally, the answer to that question is no. The American public does not favor policies that would criminally arrest and incarcerate adults who use marijuana for their own personal use.
Now, a lot of those initiatives, and Missoula included, includes an oversight committee to make sure that the lowest law enforcement priority for marijuana is maintained by the local police force. Is there a model out there already for this?
Certainly. Probably one of the better models is Seattle, where voters several years ago passed a similar initiative deprioritizing the use of law enforcement resources to target, arrest, and prosecute adult marijuana users, and also did establish an oversight committee. And what we know now is that because of that oversight committee, police have actually abided by the voters' wishes, and the local legislature, a local council, has not tried to override the voters' wishes. Police are following the law in Seattle, and they are no longer spending law enforcement resources targeting and arresting adult marijuana users in that city. And we hope that that model will be replicated as successfully in these other communities.
I am surprised to see those numbers out of Seattle. Just 40 people arrested for marijuana violations, I believe, last year. And that's a far cry from Santa Cruz. And when we're following these initiatives, we're finding out that hundreds of people are arrested in Santa Cruz and Santa Monica and Santa Barbara each year. So these could have a real immediate impact on the local law enforcement environments in those California cities and in Missoula.
Sure, we expect them to, and that's why I really can't emphasize enough the importance of these municipal initiatives. While they may not get the attention that some of these higher profile state initiatives get, it does not mean they are not as equally well deserving of this sort of attention because they do yield tangible results.
Let's talk about one of the higher profile state initiatives. One that's been in front of Nevada voters twice is Question 7, which was not passed yesterday by Nevada voters but did garner a fair amount of the vote. Is this a piece? Should Question 7 have passed? Let's go into the hypothetical world here. If Question 7 had passed in Nevada, which was to tax and regulate and have vendors supply small amounts of cannabis to adults who would then be able to possess and carry cannabis, would that have been workable? Would it have run into problems down the road from federal authorities, perhaps?
Certainly, it's arguable that the federal government would have challenged aspects of that initiative, specifically some of the proposals that you had just mentioned, specifically the regulation of marijuana by licensed sellers in the state of Nevada. However, it's also arguable that the clauses in that initiative that would have eliminated all civil and criminal penalties for the possession and use of up to an ounce of marijuana by adults would have been allowed to stand, and Nevada would have joined actually Alaska as the only other state that allows adults with no penalty to possess and use small amounts of marijuana.
And what could be on the steps out there? I know that the statewide initiatives didn't pass, but unlike political candidates, initiatives don't go away. They could come back very quickly. Do you expect to see these same states in play perhaps in 2008?
Well, the backers of Nevada's initiative have already announced that they're quite pleased with the fact that their proposal gained support from the last time it was on the ballot, and in fact have announced that they do intend to bring this measure back once again before Nevada voters. As for the campaign in Colorado, I have not seen any announcement from the primary proponents of that campaign as to whether they will try again in Colorado or they will try to recreate that campaign in some other state. But certainly one would think that the message they launched in Colorado, specifically the message that marijuana, when used by adults in moderation, is safer than the use of alcohol, is going to be a message that proponents of marijuana law reform are going to be using for, you know, years to come.
And in Colorado, over 500,000 Colorado voters passing their yes vote for Amendment 44. That's a strong showing for any candidate or initiative out there across the country.
Sure. And keep in mind, one of the sort of overlooked facts in Colorado is that for almost 30 years, voters in Colorado have lived under some of the most liberal and lenient marijuana policies in the country. The possession of up to an ounce of marijuana by adults right now is only a $100 fine. It is not a criminal offense. And as many people know, several years ago, voters in Colorado also legalized the medicinal use of marijuana under state law. So those laws continue to remain in place. And even though voters in this case did not go that extra step to essentially eliminate the $100 fine, the bottom line is that the citizens of Colorado need not live in fear of incarceration or having a criminal record right now for their use of small amounts of marijuana.
So this is something, and you know, one more thing, Paul. We heard a lot of law enforcement in California and in Colorado mention that it just wasn't that big of a deal already. So we don't need to make any laws because the cops aren't out there enforcing it anyway. Is that a viable argument for law enforcement to make? I mean, it seemed kind of silly to me that on one side, they're backing upholding these marijuana criminalization laws, but on the other side, they're saying they're not really enforcing them in practice.
Well, it's a viable argument for law enforcement if they want to endorse the passage of these initiatives. I've never understood if, in fact, law enforcement are already looking the other way when it comes to marijuana law enforcement, then why they don't endorse these movements and simply put into law what they claim is already common practice. My instinct tells me that in fact, the reason they oppose these measures is because, in fact, they do not commonly look the other way at marijuana use and possession cases. And in fact, for many law enforcement, they realize that enforcing marijuana prohibition remains their bread and butter.
Paul Armentano, Normal's Senior Policy Analyst, thanks for joining us here today on the Normal Headquarters Election Roundup.
Thank you, Chris.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.